Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to this sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of this sport, in-depth interviews with the top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on Mushing.com. A quick thank you before today's episode. The Mushing Podcast is built a lot like the old school public radio model. The show is free to listen to, and we want to keep it that way. But producing independent media takes a lot of time, travel, equipment, editing, hosting, and behind-the-scenes work. While advertising helps a little, the biggest reason this show continues is that listeners choose to support it directly. Whether you subscribe to the magazine, support us monthly, buy merch, attend events, or simply share an episode with a friend, you are helping preserve independent storytelling in the sport of mushing. That support allows us to focus on meaningful conversations instead of chasing algorithms and clickbait. So to everybody who has supported the Mushing Podcast and Mushing Magazine over the years, thank you for believing these stories are worth telling.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert, and I'm joined by my co-host, Karosh. And today we have a little bit of a different type of show. What are we doing, KP?
So today we are doing something we've never done before. I saw a few posts on social media about a tragedy, quite a bit, what's happening in Norway, about the Hamar sled dog club there having issues, challenges. So we have one of their board member, Blanca, who is with us and who will be telling us what's going on and how we can help the club to continue existing and supporting the sled dog sport in Norway. Blanca, thank you so much for being part of our show. First of all, tell us a little bit who you are, and then we will start to chat about the sled dog club.
Yes, thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me on this course. My name is Blanca Chismadia. I am actually not a board member of this club. I am not even a member of this club, which I think tells a lot about how important this cause is, not only for the club itself, but the whole sport in Norway. Because, yeah, this club is basically the soul and the life behind sprint and mid-distance mushing here in Norway. I myself have 4 sprint dogs that I'm actively racing with. And I'm originally from Hungary, but I moved to Norway in order to be able to do sled dog sports. And because I think it's just one of the best places to do this sport with your dogs.
So tell us about the Hamar Sled Dog Club and when this club was established, actually.
So there has been documented trails there and like sled dog people there as early as the 50s, 60s. But there has been the club has been member of another club, which like translates to Hamar Dog Club in the 70s. And as it is today, it was established in 1983. It has like both members are doing both Triland and sled and Nordic style, but the arena itself has been established to cater for people going out with the sled and on the skis.
So the club house, I mean, I've seen picture of your clubhouse in Hamar, was built by mushers and for sled dog racing.
Yes. So the clubhouse has been built in 2004. It is from this like lottery money, not that they won the lottery, but it is founded by the lottery. It's a system here in Norway. And it is like, yes, it's only for the sled dog people and for the people going there to the arena.
So we have so very similar to our club that I am board member at, Chugiak Dog Mushers. We built the clubhouse by hand early 2000, also almost the same time as you guys, and established a clubhouse for sled dog folks to come and train their dogs. Ours is in a protected parks area. So tell us a little bit about what is going on, what are the challenges today, and why we need to help Hummer Sled Dog Club.
So if you ever had the chance to go to Gosbu and this arena there, it's just the most wonderful place, to be honest. They have trails from, like, you can go as short as 2-3 kilometers, but they have groomed trails up to 27 kilometers plus the long distance trails. So the groomed trails are wide. They are the same quality as you find in any of the cross-country ski resorts here in Norway. Before, obviously, it was like this smaller trails, but in the past years, they really like invested into world-class quality trails. And everything that is going on at the club is based on volunteer work. So I don't know how it works like at other places, but here in Norway, there is a big tradition of volunteer work in these sports clubs. There is no employee in the club. Everyone is doing everything from like doing the trails, like, to go and drive out on 27 kilometers of trails with these machines. That's hours and hours of work. When we have a lot of snowfall, that is like almost every day. So it's an insane amount of work going into prepping these trails. There has been no issues in the beginning with the club. It's a beautiful place, but as most beautiful places, it gets interesting to other parties as well, not only for us sled dog people that are going out into the woods and trying to find our trails. So in 2013, the people that are owning the land and the club is renting the land from got a new owner. It was actually the same year that Kjetil Hillestad became the leader of the club. And since then, he's been spending a ridiculous amount of energy and time and money and everything on basically just fighting with this new owner. The issue comes from that this owner promised at least six of cabin owners that bought land from them that the club will be gone. And this is documented in other court cases that they basically just want the club gone without any, like, they don't have any cause to kick the club out. So there has been two low cases, at least, that are obviously taking like several years, both of them lawsuits, and a lot of fight with this landowner. And the sad thing about this is that actually the people around the arena are super nice. Most of the people are super nice. It's just like that one person got into this position and then made some promises that were just like impossible, because why would the club leave? And that is the root cause of every problem. He has been encouraging that. Yeah.
So the club is on private land. Is that correct? And the private land owner wants no more dogs. Is that what's going on?
Yes, exactly. So the landowner made his promise that these people will be gone. And since then, they've been trying to like ask the cabin owners in the area to make complaints about the club. They have been trying to provoke the club into giving them like a good reason to move them out, and as said, there have been like several other lawsuits before about just a lot of different things.
So if I'm not mistaken, I talked to Lena and Lena Boysen, and she sent me some links. And currently, the challenge the club has, they have to have a fundraiser to get attorneys to fight the current owners in court in order to be able to establish your rights to maintain your trails.
So as it is right now, the latest lawsuit was unfortunately lost by the club. Which then they have to in addition to pay some things that have been in the lawsuit, they also have to pay all the costs of this lawsuit, which then puts the whole club into a big financial crisis. So the reason this fundraiser was started is because if they cannot pay the costs of this lawsuit and keep up the clubhouse and the machine and the snow scooters that are preparing the trails, then yeah, they have no possibility to prepare these trails, and then we're losing this place that is really just the soul of mid-distance and sprint mushing here in Norway, and I dare to say that even in Europe. Like in winter, when you go to this arena, it's foreigners all over the place, people coming from Germany, from other parts of Europe, spending almost the whole winter there to just train their dogs, because it's like endless possibilities, as I said, from 2 to 27 kilometers. You have so many variations to just train the dogs. It's a beautiful place, and it's all going to be taken away if we cannot manage to raise these funds, only because one person made some promises to pretty much six people, and since then has been made his mission to move the club away from these spots that they have the right to.
Blanca, we have people listening from all over the world, and we've done a lot of episodes with folks in Europe from Sweden and Norway and Finland and Germany and Switzerland and all that. Can you put us on the map? Where is this place at in terms of geography that somebody would know?
All right. So obviously Norway. It's not that far from Oslo. It's relatively like south. Norway is like a very long country. So it's on like the low one third of the country, I would say, around 2 hours from Oslo, 1 hour from Lillehammer. If you are familiar with the Olympics, when we had the Lillehammer Olympics here in Norway, then there were actually some sports that had their arenas in Hamar. So Hamar has like a big history of sports, which makes it even more sad that a few financial actors or like private actors are just working so hard to destroy something that is just volunteer-based and is specifically for sports.
And now, was this property always owned by individuals, or was it public land that was sold off to individuals recently?
The land that the arena is standing on?
Yes.
They got this land in 1997.
Okay, so it's been owned privately for about 10 years.
97.
Like they got to 20 rent.
Years, 20 years. The, 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah.
30 years. I apologize. 30 years.
Almost 30 years.
Okay, so before that, it was public land. And I ask that because we're facing a lot of that here in Alaska. Right near my home, they're thinking about selling off large tracts of land to private. And we'll probably have a fight very similar to what you guys will have as well. So we know where it's at. We know how long it's been there. Karosh, what else?
So if I understand correctly, club is trying to have a fundraiser to raise approximately $20,000 American dollars to pay the legal fees to battle this lawsuit. Is that correct?
Think, but like, don't take me on this. We would have to Google it, but I think it's more like $200,000 that we're talking about.
$200,000. I thought it was 2 million Norwegian krone, correct?
Yes.
And yes. How much is a krone?
$10. Just...
What 10 krone is on? You're right, $200,000. And how much have you raised already?
And now we are around 100,000 kroners, which would be then $10,000-ish.
I also have a long ways to go still.
It's a long way still to go, but it hasn't been up for that many days. So the response has been very heartwarming. And again, it just shows how important this place is to many. It's like, yeah, there is... I mean, yeah, I haven't traveled the whole world, so I'm not going to say there is no place like it. But at least in the area, it's a very, very special place. They have had two European championships there. They had two world championships there. And on a daily basis, just so many people going out with their dogs, not racing people, all type of dogs, all type of people going out enjoying these trails.
So if, for example, there are some major donors, like some of the IDTROD donors or some of the Rondi donors or international donors who are basically putting money toward that cause, is this the end of it? Like if this dollar amount is paid, the club is guaranteed to maintain the arena and the clubhouse, or no, there's going to be future battles also?
It's not guaranteed, but as it is right now, they are very positive that if they are able to, because if they are not able to pay this, then we're sure losing the arena, like the clubhouse and all the other, like the machine, as I mentioned, and the scooters. But if they manage, or if we manage to gather this money, then we get to keep this place. And they are very positive that they will be able to continue working.
So Blanca,
if I can
clarify, because this is a tough topic to talk about in audio versus video, mm-hmm. or whatever. So the money that you're trying to raise right now, the $200,000, is that for court costs? Is that for lawyers? Is that for fees? Is it to purchase the land? What is the money for?
It's a combination.
Okay.
So the club obviously has its own lawyers that they have to pay. They now have to pay the costs of this lawsuit for the other party as well, since they lost. They have to pay some fees in addition. And the clubhouse was put up as collateral. So they have to pay for that as well.
So tell us how and where people they can look to. Obviously, we're going to attach the links to the podcast so people around the world they can see it. But otherwise, can you tell us where and how people they can help?
So on Facebook, the club has a Facebook group where you will find a link both to article on their website in English that explains a little bit the situation, and also the link to the fundraiser, which is it's a similar system as GoFundMe. We call it Splice here in Norway, where people can donate to this cause.
And when is the deadline? So we're recording this right now in at the end of July. What is the deadline for this to happen?
This fundraiser has been set up for that it's open for 60 days. I am not completely sure about the deadlines, like lawsuit-wise, but I know that everything doesn't have to be paid at once. So, like, every little bit helps that they can start paying off some of these costs that came because of this lawsuit.
And I know it's tough to forecast things, but what do you think, just from your opinion, what do you think is going to be the outcome? What is your gut feeling?
Based on what I have seen the past years, this club is really putting its soul into saving the club itself. And as I said, it's not because, like, obviously now they have so much energy and money in it, but they are doing this for the sport. The only thing that they get out of having this place is providing these trails for all these people that want to go there and do the sport. And they are passionate. So they will not give up. In addition, what is also positive is that this landowner that started all the problems in 2013, he has been changed. There's a new owner, which they have a lot better dialogue with. The cabin people that they were trying to make complain about the club, like, they were trying to always, like, provoke a problem between the club and these people. The club has a great dialogue with them as well. So really, it's just a few people that have been in the way of the club, and it looks positive that now there has been changes. Now also thanks to the publicity, so many people got their eyes opened that, like, how is it possible that something like this happens, that they are, like, there is no basis, really, for treating the club like this. It's been documented in court that this person and the landowner said that, yeah, they will just, like, kick out the club even if it gets messy, and that they want to build a case against the club, and the purpose of that is to getting rid of an unwanted tenant.
And so, Blanca, what about the public perception, the public at large, not the athletes or people that use the trails or mushers or ski jors or whatever, just your average resident? What do they think?
So the people that are living in the area are, as I mentioned, like, really, most of them are really positive about the club, and they really enjoy, like, going to the events that are organized at the club and looking at the races. Now that the case has gotten a little bit more publicity, many people are shocked to see that, like, basically a business that is owning most of the area, actually, I think 64% of Hamar is owned by the landowner that we are, or the club is having the issues with. So the people are just shocked that this actor can destroy a volunteer, like a small club that is based on volunteer work, and it's a bit of this, like, fighting against Goliath type of situation. And luckily, more and more people are speaking up that it's not okay, and they don't want this to happen. At the same time, as I mentioned, they have quite a big reach, this landowner, so many people are scared to speak up. But hopefully, through you and through many other media, we're able to get the word out about this cause and get more people on our side.
So we've talked about who, what, and where. How big of an area is this in either square kilometers or miles or acres or what? How big is the area?
It's a very good question. I am unsure about that. I know that the clubhouse is 180 square meters. And as I mentioned, the trails are going from 2 to 27 kilometers plus the long distance trails on top of it.
So how big is that, Kuro?
Betcha it's thousands of acres, actually, probably 10,000 acres, something like that. So, because Beach Lake, we have the same.
Okay. All right, very good. Blanca, before we let you go, anything else you want to talk about? I know we're going to put links and all that to this. What do you want the message to be, the take home, if you will?
What I would like people to know is, like, one of the things is that these are all volunteers putting all their extra time after work during their holidays into this club and making this sport available for us. And we just, like, really want to give back something, because they have been standing in this on their own for, yeah, 13 years. And now it's time for us to step up for them. And also that it's not only about this one small club in Norway with the trails. This club and these trails are pretty much the soul of sprint and mid-distance mushing here in Europe.
Blanca, here in our country, people's voices, they have as much power as people's dollars. Is there a politician or a federation or a ministry where people, they can write emails to, or basically expose their voices and their opinion about why it is important to keep the club? Because I just did a quick math. We need 4,000 people to pay $50 each to potentially save the club and the trails. Mm-hmm. But what about if people, they don't all have $50 and somebody wants to do $10 or somebody to do $20. What about that person can send an email to a, I don't know, the minister or the federation or whoever has power or politics to support the idea? Is there such thing?
I know that the club is actively working towards this direction to like involve politicians, and like as I mentioned many times, it's like unfortunately not unheard of, but should be unheard of, that like just the private landowner can kick someone out because they want to, and like just put everything that this small club has worked for so many years into basically the trash because they want to. What is the best thing to do is to share the not GoFundMe, but this Splice page. There also people can donate, and if they donate, can write a message. So I know that this has been meaning a lot to the club, and it's also something that they can show that, like, look at all these people that are supporting this. So maybe you cannot or not in the position to donate, then with a share, you can maybe get someone else that is in the position to donate, and that is already like a huge, huge help. And just sharing on social media, telling your opinion about the case, telling why you would want people to support them, helps to make people understand. And I think as important as politicians are, now our best way is to just like spread the word to everybody, and not just like these directed emails, but like on social media, in media, so as many people hear about this case as possible.
Karosh, finish us up.
Blank, I wanted to thank you for showing us your passion about your club and the sled dog sport, and sharing with us the need to help the club and to make this club survive on behalf of not only sled dog folks in Norway, but also in Europe and around the world. Good luck to you, and we'll be sending the links and the message to all our listeners, and hopefully next year we're going to be talking about your championship at the same time.
Thank you so much for the possibility, and I really hope so. If anyone has ever been at the championship at Hamar, it's absolutely fantastic. So I really, really do hope that we get to save this club and see many people at the events there in the future.
All right, guys. Thank you very much for joining us today. On behalf of our guest and my co-host, this is Robert for The Dog Driver Show. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.